6 seconds left. Halla gets it up top. Marcia's out to the right. Big shot! Score! Shay Theodore! Vegas takes the lead 4-3! 2.3 to go! Perron to the circle. He shoots and scores! David Perron wins it! Up top for Kopitar. Feet to the right. Shot! Stopped by Fleury!
Shay Theodore scored on a huge hit by McNabb. He leveled Arvidsson. Wow.
Here's Howell into the zone. Howell left side, drop pass, big shot, score! It's John Merrill! Merrill puts Vegas on top, 2-1!
And welcome in Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show, Fox Sports Radio, 98.9 FM, 1340 AM, your home for Golden Knights hockey in the Valley. Frank Hernish, along with my good friends, Mr. Ryan the Hockey Guy Wallace and Chris Chapman. Lots to get to today. It is
a
game day.
Whether you like it or not.
And game day is the final road trip of the 2018 regular season. We'll wrap up with games in Vancouver, Edmonton, and Calgary. So, like I mentioned, we'll also have a $50 gift certificate for MJ Christensen because we gave one away yesterday, but they won two games since last we were on. So we're going to give away another one of those. We'll look at the upcoming game tonight. Lots of other news and some fun stuff today as well. How you doing, Ryan?
I'm doing good, man. I'm excited about today's show. I think that it's going to be a fun one. We've got a lot of interesting stuff to talk about. And, you know, the Golden Knights just continue to impress. They continue to just be that story of the year, story of sports in general. And what a ride it's been, huh?
It's been incredible, and there's certainly a lot of hockey left to play. Hopefully, a real lot of hockey left to play. Yep. But let's be honest about it. The playoffs can last four games or as many as 28 games. So if that sounds a little bit like a discrepancy there, well, it's because it is, because there's four rounds, all of them best of seven. Yeah. Not like some of the other, the first round's best of five. The first round's less important, that you don't go on to the second round if you don't win. So I do like how the NHL does that. I don't know why every sport doesn't make their playoffs all the same, except for maybe the NBA, because 8 seed can't beat a 1, so why draw it out any longer? But in the NHL, we see that happen frequently. And in fact, I believe we saw it last year with Nashville.
Yeah, we've seen it, I think, the last 3 years in a row, which is pretty crazy when you think about it. But, you know, it's funny when you talk to people that maybe this is the first time they've started to follow hockey or they're watching hockey, and they start to ask you questions about the postseason. They're like, hey, what does the first round look like? What does it look like, all this? And then you start to explain, yeah, we're looking at about 2 months. If they go to the cup final, we're looking at 2 months. And all of a sudden, people's eyes get really big because we've been playing since September. I mean, this is insane. It's such a long season. And like we talked about yesterday, nothing's been accomplished. Like, it's great that there's going to be a banner that's going to raise next year for the Pacific Division. That's great. But nothing's been accomplished yet. The actual season is about to start. And you talk to those players, and they all say, this is where the real fun is. This is why you play the game.
All right, and we're going to get into a lot of that. We're going to maybe look at some of the matchups that could be there. I also want to get yours and Chris's insight on some of the things you guys have seen behind the scenes that the average fan can't see. I haven't had a chance to see because we're always doing the pregame and the intermission reports and the postgame show. So in the locker rooms, especially you being in the visitors' locker room. But before we get to all of that, let's look ahead to tonight's game. It is the Raikkonen Plumbing and Air Conditioning a preview of the game against Vancouver tonight. Raikkonen Plumbing and Air Conditioning, where a flush beats a full house every time. And tonight, Vancouver, this is still a team with some pride. And I have a feeling it's going to be a little bit more exciting up there in Vancouver tonight, because not that Brock Besser is going to be in it for the Rookie of the Year, because unfortunately he's injured, and I think he's an exciting young player. Mm-hmm. And Bo Horvat, I think, is an exciting young player. But two guys that are not so young anymore. In fact, they're stepping aside. The Sedin brothers have announced that they are officially retiring. I have a feeling that the crowd is going to be absolutely insane tonight in Vancouver for the Sedins. I'm just hoping that Ryan Reeves can get a shot at one of them.
You know, I keep, ever since the Sedins announced their retirement yesterday, I keep replaying that hit that Dustin Brown had on Henrik Sedin in the 2012 Stanley Cup playoffs that just completely set the tone. And it's so unfortunate, because we were talking about it a little bit yesterday, and And I asked the question, that 2011 team in Vancouver that went to the Cup Finals and lost to Boston, was there a better, more complete, more talented team to go to the Finals and lose? And I think maybe the team, the Tampa Bay team that lost to Chicago in 2015 is close to that. But what I'm looking forward to in this game is what the Sedins do, because they're going to get more minutes. You look up and down the Vancouver lineup, and it seems like everybody's hurt. I mean, Besser's hurt. You mentioned that. Sven Berchi's hurt. Louis Eriksson's hurt. I mean, they're just decimated by injuries. Not that it matters anyway, because they were going to finish where they're going to finish, but I think the Sedins have a lot of pride. They said it in their letter. They've got some more work to do, and you know that this is their Stanley Cup final. Going against this team, the winners of the Pacific Division, the best team in their division, they want to make a statement, they want to win games, and they're going to fight until the very end of their careers.
Yeah, and I think that will be interesting. We're going to look a little bit later on about exactly where the Sedin brothers go with some of the other notable brother combinations from the NHL. We'll do that in the second segment today. But looking at tonight's game, and I know we say this all the time, theoretically, Vegas doesn't have to win anything anymore. Sure. They have clinched the Pacific. They're where they're going to be. They're not going to catch Nashville. Nashville's probably going to clinch tonight. They beat the Panthers. They basically clinched the Western Conference.
Mm-hmm.
But you don't want to back into the playoffs. You don't want to go in with a bunch of losses or not playing very good hockey. They just played good hockey against St. Louis and certainly to clinch the division the other night.
Mm-hmm.
So they got those two victories under their belt. But now they have three teams that are not going to the playoffs that are kind of playing out the season, but they're still going to come out there and play hard. And I know Gerard Gallant said that they weren't necessarily going to rest players or do things different, but they are resting some players. There's a couple guys not in the lineup tonight with Hala and Marchessault.
Mm-hmm.
Subban is going to play goalie. I have no problem with that whatsoever. I have no problem with them resting anybody, because the guys that they're going to be resting at this time of the year, they're going to be resting for one of two reasons, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
Either A, because they have had a long season and they have an opportunity to rest him now and they're a veteran player, so they're going to rest him. Or B, just to get a look at some of these other guys that maybe haven't been able to scratch into the lineup as much, so they're going to give them a shot.
Mm-hmm.
Your thoughts?
No, I really agree with that second point that you made, because you look at this team and you look at some of the guys that are coming back from injury. They haven't really gotten a lot of chance to play, obviously, over the last little while. And then you look at a guy like Brandon Peary, who was just recalled or just called up from AHL Chicago Wolves. If there are injuries, you need to know what you have in this guy at the NHL level if he needs to draw into the lineup at some point in time in the future in the playoffs. So it's a really good way for Gerard Gallant to get a little bit of an assessment on what some potential call-ups might be able to do. It's going to be a really good opportunity, I assume, for White Cloud to get into a game and to see what you have in him and to see what he can bring to the table should you need to use him. Because, as we just talked about, if you make a deep run in the playoffs, you are not going to make a deep run with the roster that you have in Game 1. And we've seen it all season long with the Golden Knights. They've had to fight through goalie issues. They've had to fight through forward issues. I mean, Will Carrier hasn't been healthy for a long time, and he is a huge part of this team. So you use these three games to get the guys coming back off of IR into some game action, try to get them to go, get them going, and you take Marchessault out, and he doesn't need to play all three of these games. If he plays one or two, that's fine. Probably play him the last game. If you play him in Edmonton, that's great too, but they don't need it. They've got an entire season to look back on, to realize what they've done. If Marchessault needs a day or two of maintenance, that's what you give him. Same with Hala.
I wouldn't be surprised to see Marchessault play one more game with Riley Smith back in, with Smith, Carlson, and Marchessault all back together again.
Right.
Although they've played all season long, Smith's been out for a while, so maybe just to work on that chemistry. But then I agree with you. If he wants a day off, if Carlson doesn't, I don't think Carlson's going to, because, quite frankly, he still has a shot to win the Rocket Richard. I mean, he's not that. He gets another hat trick, and all of a sudden, we're talking real closer. Could you imagine that? Alex Ovechkin got his 46 last night, but Marchessault's only four goals away. If he got a hat trick tonight, all of a sudden, he's right in that conversation.
Sure. Yeah.
After the goal he scored to clinch the Pacific Division against San Jose,
right?
We thought that was the cherry on top. How much of a bigger cherry on top would it be if he actually did win the Rocket Richard?
I mean, it would be interesting for sure. He does owe Chris Chapman a hat trick on the road. That's something that we talked about in the locker room with
me.
Him.
He owes the fans because you know the point I made to him was, hey, look, Bill, you've scored two hat tricks at T-Mobile Arena, forcing the home fans to throw their $30 hats on the
costing
ice,
costing them money.
So if you do it on the road, they could throw their hats up in the air. They could throw their hats at the TV. They could throw them on the couch.
I would argue that if he did it tonight in Vancouver, there would be quite a few Vegas Golden Knights hats on the ice.
There probably would be.
Yeah.
I would think there might be as well. But you know
what? I
wonder
if Leipzig would throw his helmet on the ice in celebration.
He's not playing.
If he's going to get the first hat trick on the road,
sure.
I'd rather him wait till after this week and do it in the playoffs.
Yeah.
Especially, how special would that be?
It'd be something. I, every time we watch him play, every time we see him do something spectacular, we just sit there and we look at ourselves and we say, when is this going to run out? I don't think it ever is. I think this is the player William Karlsson was born to be, and he has found the absolute perfect scenario for him to blossom into that and into that type of player. But to your point, I think we do see Jonathan Marchessault play. I think we do see him play with Riley Smith. And I also think we see Erik Haula play when David Perron comes back. And if I'm a betting man, I would say that would be against Calgary, final game of the season. I feel really bad for Calgary, because that's going to be an interesting game for those top two lines to get some time together, to get their familiarity back, and to get going into the playoffs feeling good about themselves with some confidence.
You know, the one piece of the Rubik's Cube that I'm still curious to see in the playoffs,
mm-hmm.
Tomáš Tatar.
Yeah.
Where does he land? What does he do? And how effective can he be? Because we've seen him get better when he's had the comfort level playing with guys.
Right.
But if he's going to be with another new line now come playoff time, is it going to take a few games for him to get comfortable? Because you don't ever want to give up a playoff game. And I'm not saying that by having Tatar in there is giving up a playoff game by any stretch.
Sure.
Because I think he's going to help, and I think the top two lines are good enough. And if they can get a third line production as well, wow, they really could make a deep run in the playoffs. But I am curious to see where he goes, or if wherever he's going to land, we even see it right now in these last three games and just say, look, we do have Riley Smith coming back. We do have David Perron coming back. So we're going to put you right now where you're going to be a week from now.
You know, I think it's really been unfortunate for Tatar, because when he came in, he was supposed to be a better option goal scoring, assists, points wise than Brendan Leipzig. And while I think he is a better player overall than Brendan Leipzig, Tomáš Tatar has not spent any time in the slot where he's going to play with the teammates that he's going to play with. He's going to play with Cody Eakin, and he's going to play with Alex Tuck. That's just what it is. Now, losing Riley Smith, losing David Perron, has forced Tomáš Tatar to kind of be in this situation where they now need him to score goals, whereas before, when they acquired him and he's in a third-line role, it would be nice if he chipped in and scored goals.
It'd be a luxury.
Exactly, exactly. So when you look at Tatar, I think moving back down in that third line spot to play with Cody Eakin, to play with Alex Tuck, especially now that Alex Tuck has all the confidence in the world from playing on that top line with Marchessault and Karlsson, what you're going to see is it might take them a little bit of time to find their stride, but because other teams are going to be so focused in on the top two lines, Tomáš Tatar should be drawing lesser coverage, and because of that, should be getting more ice, more time and space, and should be able to convert at a regular clip. It doesn't need to be anything earth-shattering, but if they can chip in two or three goals, that line, a series, it's going to be awful hard to beat the Vegas Golden Knights.
Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show, Fox Sports Radio, your home for Golden Knights hockey in Las Vegas. Frank Harnish, Ryan the Hockey Guy Wallace, Chris Chapman behind the board. You can join Clayton Hamilton and myself tonight out at Parkway Tavern on Mark Street in Henderson. We will be there for that game against the Vancouver Canucks, 6:30 pregame, puck drop a little after 7. And you don't want to miss these final three games on the road, getting ready for playoff hockey when it really goes up another notch. All right, I'm thinking that this is going to be a fun thing to do here, because we've covered the team all season long.
Mm-hmm.
And when I say all season, I mean from the time that they announced the team to the development camp, meeting some of the future Knights, to getting to know a lot of the guys here. We've been in the locker rooms. We've talked with them. We've been out at events with them and have done a lot of different things. But the one thing that even I haven't had a chance to do because of my involvement with the pregame show and the postgame and the intermission reports, I have not been in the locker rooms after games like right. You and Chris have. So I was wondering if you guys would be willing to share a couple stories about some of the more interesting or fun things that you've seen this year. Ryan, I know you've been in the visitor locker room quite a bit.
Yep.
And I know we were just talking about Tomas Tatar, and I think Chris has something to talk about with him that I think is interesting. So let's start with you on the road, because there's a lot of characters in the NHL.
Yes.
And there's a lot of different times, and I'm talking coaches, players, and everything else. What's some of the more fun or crazy things that you've seen in the visitor's locker room?
The one thing that stands out the most to me, especially this happened earlier in the year, was when San Jose came here, they lost a game. It was the first time they played in this building, and Brent Burns just despised the fact that, A, he was requested to come talk to the media, and, B, that he had to do it. So he comes out really angry, and he scored a goal in that game. Like, it was the first goal that he had scored all season long. You would have thought maybe he would be off the snide a little bit. He would be a little bit happy, a little joyous. And I think I asked him, like, hey, how did it feel to get that first goal? He's like, we lost. We lost 2 points. I'm not a fan of losing 2 points. And I'm like, you are not the guy after a loss that we all thought you would be. This is kind of a bummer. And the juxtaposition of that is you look at Steven Stamkos, who you think is very reserved, very calm, very much a pro when it comes to the media. Well, if you remember that Tampa Bay Lightning game, it was the Shea Theodore walk-off goal with 2.3 seconds left. It was a huge, huge game. I think one of the highlights of the season. Well, there were a couple of penalties late in the game that really kind of got under the skin of Steven Stamkos, and Stamkos was the first person to swear during a post-game media scrum, and it was the greatest thing that I had ever seen, and I absolutely loved every minute of it.
Now, you also had an incident where I believe Drew Doughty wasn't very happy and said that Vegas wasn't nearly as good and they wouldn't be as good in the postseason, and that could be the Golden Knights' first-round opponent.
Yeah, and I've been very careful in drawing that quote back up, because while it's obvious Vegas is going to finish the regular season a better team than Los Angeles, there is the potential that they will meet in the playoffs, and you don't tweet that out until Vegas officially eliminates the Los Angeles Kings from being a better team at the end of the year. So
you're not from the school of putting out fire with gasoline?
No. I find that doesn't work out very well. But I know that Chris has some very interesting, including a player that may or may not have put his hands on you.
Yeah, well, that was Ottawa. When the Senators came into town. First of all, Ryan, myself, have figured out to get to the visitors' locker room. We figured out our secret way to get there. So
yes.
I will not disclose that. But the way it sets up, we're able to watch these guys come off the ice and walk into the locker room, whereas the rest of the media has to wait until they open up the doors and then they let them in. So Ottawa, quite excited about their victory here, as they were walking into the locker room, I got a curse on video where they were walking in and says, I don't know why it's so effing hard to win here. It's pretty easy. And then we walk in the locker room, and, of course, everyone wants to talk to Erik Karlsson, but I happened to come in first, and I darted over to him, and he kind of put his hands out like, hey, let's wait for everybody to get here, and we could start. And he did make contact with me, but nothing malicious there. I thought it was actually kind of funny, because he was...
So it's not like putting the hands on an official. He just put the hands on a media member.
He wasn't shoving me. You know, it wasn't like he was like, hey, back off. He was being cordial to the rest of the media.
How imposing is Erik Karlsson when you see him stretched out like that?
You know what? He's actually... First of all, I love the facial hair along with the...
He's a pirate.
Yes. With the Joe Juno mullet that he has going on. I love that. But... Yeah, he's actually a lot bigger than I thought, and but yeah, he was fun. Some of my favorite moments, I would say, the game against Pittsburgh when John Merrill scored the game winning goal in the third period to give the Knights a 2-1 win, and Merrill, who talked to me earlier in the day, said, "Oh, I'll see you tonight." Because I always bump into him in the press box during the games, and little did we know at that time John Merrill was going to play. So when he made that comment, I don't think he anticipated seeing me that night after he scored the game-winning goal. Maybe he did. Maybe he had some foreshadowing. But
well, all he does is score game-winning goals.
Yes.
That's what you do.
The best part about that was he wanted to high-five me in the locker room, and I had to like tell him, John, you're a cool guy, but I'm working, so I can't high-five you in the locker room. But I had some fun with him the next day. I would say there was a game where Belmar took a puck to the face, and we thought, oh, no, he's going to be gone for a while. He went in the back, got stitches, came back out on the ice later in the period, and in the locker room, he was like, yeah, you know what? It was just a flesh wound. It wasn't a big deal. It was, okay, I got hit in the face with a puck. No big deal. You know,
am I not correct in saying he's the toughest pound-for-pound player in the NHL?
I think that that's a fair statement. You talk to that guy, and I remember one of the times I asked him, like, how do you just lay down in front of those shots? He's like, well, the first time it hurt, the second time it hurt less, and then after that it doesn't hurt at all. And I'm like, no, that's inaccurate. A 100-mile-an-hour slap shot hurts every single time it hits you. I don't care if you're super protected.
It just hurts. Get used to it.
I mean, but that's his job, and he understands his job. And
he loves his job.
He absolutely does.
He loves it.
And that's a theme that we've seen the entire year with this team, is that they love their job. Brad Hunt loves his job. He comes to the rink every day, and he makes sure that he tells you every single time, if I'm not happy and I'm not smiling going to the rink and playing this game for my job, then I'm doing something wrong. And I want to talk about PK Subban for a minute, because because PK Subban was awesome, and he was awesome because he was awful. Okay, now we're waiting and waiting and waiting, and obviously at this point in time, the Malcolm Subban story was running rampant. Jesse Granger requested PK Subban because he was working on a piece on Malcolm, and he wanted to find out, hey, you know, what Malcolm was like as a kid, what he was like when he made the transition to being a goalie and all that, and just how genuinely happy PK Subban was. Well, we're waiting for 15 minutes. We get all the other interviews, and then we're sitting there, and it's like, oh, okay, bus leaves at 10:45. It's 10:50. Still no PK. PK walks out. He's like, okay, boys, I got like three questions, maybe two. All right, maybe one. I don't know. I gotta go. I gotta go to the bus. And we're like, yeah. Well, you should have come out 15 minutes ago, buddy, jerk. So anyway, so Jesse asks him a couple of questions about Malcolm Subban, and he's like, yeah, I didn't really play with Malcolm. The age difference, we didn't play much together. But yeah, good for him. Takes advantage of the opportunity. The most stock answer, like, it's your younger brother finding success at the National Hockey League level, and you're just like, yeah, no, I'm good. I don't want to get into it.
PK Subban, the one person in the NHL who maybe dresses flashier than our own Chris Chapman.
Yes, from what I understand, he had the pimp hat on, right?
His hat was phenomenal.
Like Slim Daddy or whatever.
He and Brent Burns, like, they were both dressed like that. They were both dressed to the nines after the game, which, you know, you come to expect or whatever. But yeah, PK Subban.
That's a good story. Tomas Tatar, following the victory over San Jose on Saturday night, walk in the locker room. And it was kind of a weird setup on Saturday night, because usually you walk in the locker room and it's empty, and maybe, you know, one or two guys are out getting ready to talk to the media. But on Saturday night, the locker room was full and everybody was in there. They were undressing and you know, getting ready to jump in the shower and whatnot. And Tomas Tatar, whose locker is kind of in the corner, he was dancing in the middle of the locker room.
Well, they just clinched the Pacific, well, right?
But yeah, for Tatar,
big accomplishment.
The night before, I asked him, you know, I talked to him about winners and losers at the trade deadline, and clearly he was a winner. And the thing that he said to me that really stood out is, you're not happy when you're playing for a losing hockey team. Well, now he's playing for a winner. He's clearly happy to the point where he's dancing in the middle of a locker room. I think one of the other moments, and I'm sure everyone in the media will remember it, is the first game Ryan Reeves played at T-Mobile Arena as a member of the Vegas Golden Knights, and he was basically himself. And I think that was the night that I said, I really like Ryan Reeves, not only as a person, but as a player, because he didn't make any apologies for his style of play. He thought the penalties were garbage. Certainly, I thought the boarding call was garbage, and he didn't apologize for anything. And he basically said, look, I'm not going to change my style and who I am. This is how I play. And when we get to the playoffs, this is the way the style is in the playoffs. And You know, I said, I really like him. I mm-hmm. think he's a good player, and I like the way that he wasn't apologetic about it.
Yeah, and again, we could go on with these stories, and maybe we will sometime. Yep. At the season's end, we'll do some reflection and maybe just do a whole roundtable show or something like that. But great stories there and a lot of cool stuff and the insight that the average fan can't get into. And for Tatar, I mean, he literally is the hockey version of going from the outhouse to the penthouse, from Detroit to Vegas. What a great ride it has been for him. All right, well, you know, when the Vegas Golden Knights win, you win too, and it is time to give away our $50 gift certificate for MJ Christensen Jewelers. MJ Christensen, a proud sponsor of the Vegas Golden Knights, and since they won two games this past weekend, and we only gave away one yesterday, we're going to do another one right now. Let's go with call number six. Caller number 6-702-876-1340, 702-876-1340. When we come back, we're going to tell you a Vegas Golden Knight that was the number one star of the week this past week. Also look at the Sedins and where they stack up with some of the other brother combos in history. And lots more to get to here. Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show, Fox Sports Radio, your home for Golden Knights hockey in the Valley. Welcome back, Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show, Fox Sports Radio, 98.9 FM, 1340 AM, your home for Golden Knights hockey in the Valley. Frank Harnish, Ryan the Hockey Guy Wallace, Chris Chapman. Congratulations to Derek. He's going to be enjoying that $50 gift certificate to MJ Christensen Jewelers. Remember, when the Golden Knights win, you win too. And hopefully we'll be doing another one of those tomorrow after the victory up in Vancouver tonight. One guy who has been absolutely crucial to the success of this team. Now, we've talked about him a lot, but still can't really talk about him enough as far as I'm concerned, and as far as a couple of women that I was shared an elevator down with the other day in at T-Mobile Arena, which I cannot repeat what they were saying about him. But William Karlsson, named the first star of the week. Second star was Antti Raanta, who's got a new contract offer from the Arizona Coyotes. Apparently, mm-hmm. they like what Mr. Ranta's done this year down there in goal. And Jack Eichel, a guy who I admire because he called out his teammates and said, look, I don't care if we're not in the playoff run. We need to play every shift as hard as we can,
yeah.
taking accountability and culpability for everything. But William Karlsson, the number one star of the week, Wild Bill, 3 goals, 6 assists for 9 points, including a pair of shorthanded goals. Think about that. And I talked about this in the postgame show a little bit. Karlsson had 6 goals last year.
Yep.
He has 4 shorthanded goals this year.
Yeah, I mean, mission accomplished
and
for this season.
And
I would
42
say.
Goals overall.
Yeah, you know, you run out of things to say. And again, we talked about it a little bit yesterday. The move that William Karlsson made to score on Martin Jones, while it was flashy, while it was many old school hockey guys will say, it was a hot dog move. No, it was the only play he had available to score. Another player doesn't try that. Cody Eakin doesn't try that because Cody Eakin isn't playing with the confidence offensively that William Karlsson is. It's the only play he had, and he was confident enough based on his entire season, based on Gerard Gallant reinforcing that confidence in him, teaching him, helping him grow as a player, that he tried it and was successful. And you heard Gallant say it after, you know, the next day. If he would have missed, okay, he would have missed. He tried. It's better to try than to not try at all.
And he made a really good goalie look really frustrated. And I'm not going to say bad because the poke check was the right move.
Oh,
he just beat him. Sometimes you're just beat.
Yeah, and it was 100% reaction from Karlsson. You know, it absolutely was. He saw something in Martin Jones, and that's what tipped him off. And it's always the old adage when it comes to shootouts or breakaways, whoever makes the first move loses. Martin Jones made the first move. By the slightest of margins, he made the first move. And William Karlsson made the absolute perfect play.
All right, Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show. Congratulations to William Karlsson. And we are going to look at the Sedin brothers here in just a second, but I wanted to throw this out real quick. 3 more teams can clinch playoff spots tonight.
Mm-hmm.
The Blue Jackets, Flyers, and Devils can all earn berths. And, well, basically, if Nashville wraps up the Western Conference with a win tonight, basically they all will get those berths because Nashville will be beating Florida. So that could happen this evening as the playoff pitcher is starting to round into form, although we still don't have – I'm not going to say any idea who Vegas is going to play because I think we actually do have a pretty good idea. It looks like it could be a team from Southern California.
There right now, there's potentially four teams that Vegas can play in the first round, and I would argue that one of them scares me more than the others. The others don't scare me at all.
All right. Well, and we will get your thoughts on that in a bit, but I do want to touch on the Sedin brothers because they have been miraculous players. I was never a gigantic fan of theirs, I must admit, because I'm not a fan of Vancouver. But I do respect what they've done, what they've accomplished, that they've played for one organization their entire careers. And I do want to throw this out real quick, too. Mm-hmm. Years ago, I met Daniel Sedin at an NHL red carpet.
Okay.
Now, back then, I was a diehard Blackhawk fan.
Sure.
The Vegas Golden Knights didn't exist, and we didn't even think that they were going to be coming. And on the red carpet, I got a chance to ask him a couple quick questions and take a picture with him for the website.
Right.
And I always try to be honest with people because one thing I have going for me. And I told him, I said, look, I got to be honest with you. Not a fan of yours. I'm a Blackhawks fan. So I really don't like you and your team. He looked at me, put his arm around me and smiled and said, yeah, well, that's okay because I hate you and the Blackhawks too. And we both just got grins on and we took the picture and did the interview. But, I mean, it was good-natured ribbing, but he took it the right way. So, I mean, I respected him a lot more after that. And right. At first I couldn't even believe I said it, but I did, so it was out there. But the Sedin brothers, where do they match historically against some of the other great brother combinations? And certainly one that people throw up there right off the bat, and rightfully so, would be Hall of Famers Maurice and Andre Richard.
Yeah, I don't think that there's, honestly, when you talk about those two guys, I don't think there's a better duo to have ever played the game. I don't think there's a better brother combination to have ever played the game. But obviously that was a little bit before my time. So I'm going to go
before my time.
I'm going to go with something that I'm familiar with, all right? And you know, for the people that understand and follow hockey, they're going to understand and know what I'm doing here. But I'm going with the brothers Gretzky. I'm going with Wayne and Brent Gretzky. They're the highest scoring brother combo to have ever played the game.
Well, they're the highest scoring.
Yeah, they have the most points between two brothers.
Brother pair.
Sure, yeah.
Not brother combo.
Oh, that's a good point. You're right. But they are, when you look at two brothers that played in the National Hockey League for a long, long time, in the case of one brother, not so long in the case of the other brother, they are the highest scoring duo of brothers in the NHL. And we're talking about duos. To me, we're talking about duos right now because the Sedins are a duo that could never, ever be broken.
And it's interesting because you do always get the argument, how good would they have been if they did not both land on the Vancouver Canucks and play together?
And I was having this conversation with Jason Pothier, Simbin.Vegas. Daniel Sedin needed to play with Henrik Sedin. Henrik Sedin did not have to play with Daniel. Henrik, while they're twins, while they both have really good vision, while they both can score, they both can pass, Henrik Sedin was the cog that made everything go. Daniel Sedin, like I think that if they would have split up lines, I think that if they would have tried to move themselves around the lineup, they would have been stronger. But Daniel needed Henrik to be the dynamic player that he was. And it's unfortunate because, again, we talked about it a little bit yesterday. I look at that 2011 team that went and lost to Boston in the finals. I don't know that there was a better team to go to the finals and lose. I really don't.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, maybe in the back of my mind, I'm thinking way back old school, mm-hmm. when the Islanders with Billy Smith were beating Gretzky and the right. Oilers before they really got over that hump and won the first one.
Sure.
But and then they went on and just won a ton of them. So, you know, I remember those teams a little bit. But I mean, but again, and the strange thing about hockey, too, is sometimes if you get a hot goaltender, maybe a team that's the best in the league doesn't even make it to the Stanley Cup Finals.
Right, right. Like I could see maybe the 2013-14 Chicago Blackhawks, the team that lost to the Kings in the Western Conference Final. Maybe
I thought they were the best team that year, and that's not a Blackhawk fan. I
mean, no, absolutely.
What the Kings did, winning three consecutive Game Sevens on the road, mm-hmm. and then actually beating the Rangers in the finals and making maybe their easiest. In fact, it was their easiest series.
Yeah.
And how about the Sharks? I mean, they were down 3-0 and came back on them. That was a magic. magical year where everything just happened for a reason. But I actually thought the Blackhawks were the best team that year, and they weren't even in the Stanley Cup Finals. And that's the other thing. Sometimes you can have the Stanley Cup Finals before the Stanley Cup Finals.
Right, and that's the thing. Like, the only team that I could actually sit there and say might have been better was the Tampa Bay team that lost to Chicago in 2015.
I'm shocked that they haven't won. I thought they were going to win a Stanley Cup probably the next year, but they had a ton of injuries and different things, right. And it shows how hard it is to get back there.
Right.
And this year's team is what we kind of thought they'd be, and now they have a hard time beating the Boston Bruins, who have kind of come out of nowhere, but are they the team to beat now? Is it Nashville, or is it who's going to get hot in the playoffs? That's one of the things I love about hockey, because you can have all your predictions and all your mm-hmm. experts, yep. like everybody who said the Vegas Golden Knights were going to absolutely be horrible this year, and the Colorado Avalanche, them and Arizona would be competing for the worst team in the West,
right?
And one of those was right.
Exactly. Yeah, so it's so unfortunate, and I kind of look at it the same way as I look at Roberto Luongo, and this is just kind of the way to tie it all in together. The Sedins could have done so much more in their careers, I believe, if they would have had the desire or the aptitude or the want to separate themselves from each other. I think they could have absolutely, either one of them, gone to a contending team and taken that team over the top and won a Stanley Cup, and then there would be zero question as to whether or not Henrik or Daniel or Henrik and Daniel should be Hall of Fame players. And I feel the same way with Roberto Luongo. Now, Luongo's probably not going to win a Stanley Cup. He's getting older. Florida doesn't seem like they're going to make the playoffs this year. Like, they turned it on a little bit too late. But if Luongo was able to get to a contender, if after Vancouver, if after it didn't work out there, if he would have gone to a team that was a contender, I guarantee he would have won a Stanley Cup. And there'd be no questions as to whether or not he's a Hall of Fame goalie.
All right, Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show. I want to throw out a couple more combos up there just for the heck of it. You don't even have to comment on all of them necessarily. Bobby and Dennis Hall, actually the duel of brothers who have the most goals in the history of the game, mm-hmm. because Bobby Hall had 610, Dennis had 303. By the way, Brett Hall also became a pretty good player, the son of Bobby Hall.
Yep.
The Stastny brothers were certainly pretty good, Anton, Peter, and Marion, so there was three of them.
Yep.
Frank and Peter Mihaljevic, the Niedermeyers, Scott Niedermeyer.
Yeah, man. I mean, the Niedermeyers were Scott was so good. He was such a good defenseman. And, yeah, not much else you can say about those guys.
Doug and Max Bentley,
mm-hmm.
Brian and Joel Mullen, Pavel and Valerie Burry.
Yep.
We also have Eric and Jordan Staal, Mikko and Sako Koiva.
Mm-hmm.
And then one that I want to throw in there, because when I said that the duo for the points, I wasn't correcting you. I was just saying because from the earliest, and I'm sure you remember these, although probably a little bit before your time too, because it's back when I was going to Blackhawk games. Remember the Sutter brothers when six of them were in the league at the same time?
That's a good point.
Six of them at the same time. Brian, Daryl, Dwayne, Brent, Rich, and Ron. Scattered all over. I think two of them played for the Rangers together, and the other ones were on all different teams.
Mm-hmm.
They used to claim that their oldest brother was actually the best of them all, and he wasn't in the NHL because he was injured in the juniors. And if you fought a Sutter brother back then, when you played one of the other teams, you were going to get in a fight because they had different fighting rules. I remember Daryl Sutter playing for the Blackhawks and, of course, coach of the LA Kings.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody beat up his brother Ron in a game. They played the Blackhawks the next night. Daryl just jumped him from behind and beat the living tar out of him. And the guy was like, what the? And then he looked and he goes, I forgot the Sutter brother rule in the NHL.
man, Daryl, he was such a trip, especially as a coach. But, you know, it's really funny. We're sitting here talking about brothers, and there's two guys named Sebastian Aho in this game right now, and they're not related.
One from Sweden and one from... Finland.
How ridiculous is that? It's amazing to me. There's two Sebastian Ahos, not related.
Well, and by the way, remember, there are three Subban brothers.
There are.
And we know PK and Malcolm.
Yep.
Will they be the greatest player-goalie combination of brothers? Because I don't know if they'll ever match up with Phil and Tony Esposito.
No, probably not.
But, I don't know.
I look at Malcolm Subban. I look at him from the beginning of this year to now. Man, he's going to be good if he continues to improve at this rate.
All right, so a little brother talk, and which is ironic because my least favorite team this year of other fan base was the City of Brotherly Love, and that was Philadelphia fans. Where they were. I hope we never see them again, but we will next year. All right, it is the Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show, Fox Sports Radio. You know, there's some NHL awards coming to town as well. When they come to town, everybody wants to see who gets the hardware. Well, the Westgate has odds up on some of those awards. We'll take a look at who the favorites are to win those and wrap up the show here on a Game Day Tuesday, Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show, Fox Sports Radio, your home for Golden Knights hockey. Welcome back. Wrapping it up here on a Game Day Tuesday, Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show. Frank Harness, Ryan the Hockey Guy Wallace, Chris Chapman. Once again, you can join us tonight at Parkway Tavern on Mark Street in Henderson for the Golden Knights and the Vancouver Canucks. I'll be down there with Clayton Hamilton with the pregame, intermission reports, and the postgame show live from Parkway Tavern, a very cool place down there. All right, Ryan. Well, you know, the NHL awards come to Vegas. And everybody loves to see the hardware. I know I always like to be on the red carpet watching them walk all the trophies by, and there's a lot of them.
Yeah. Well, it's fun.
Well, yeah. Right now the Westgate has some odds up on who's going to take some of that hardware with them. Start off with you. If you were to pick the person to win the Hart Trophy right now, which is the MVP for a team or their team, who wins the Hart Trophy this year?
Probably Nathan MacKinnon.
Nathan MacKinnon is even money, 1-to-1 odds on it, so even money there. Right behind him, Kucherov at 9-to-4. Taylor Hall, which would be my pick.
Mine as well.
9-to-2. Connor McDavid, 9-to-1. Then it goes your man, Anze Kopitar, if you like him as a dark horse, 19-to-2, one of the higher odds on
this board. He's had such a good season.
I cannot believe he's a dark horse. I mean, we're getting to ridiculous territory.
Well, how about Claude Giroux, who I think has been absolutely amazing? He's 20-to-1. His odds are twice as high as Kopitar's.
I mean, look, listen, Anze Kopitar is having the best offensive season of his life. He's got the most minutes of any other forward in the league, so he plays in all situations. He's, I think I got the sixth most minutes of a forward on the PK, and the Kings have the best penalty kill in the league. I don't know what could be more valuable than that.
By the way, Evgeny Malkin in there at 12-to-1 as well. He could be a dark horse as well, but I don't think he'll get it because everybody says, "Well, Pittsburgh is still Pittsburgh."
Sure.
How about the Norris Trophy? Who do you like for the best defenseman in the league?
It's been a weird year for defense. Erik Karlsson hasn't been what he's been. I don't want to be the obvious guy and say Drew Doughty because...
Did you see the video that the Kings put out for
him? I did. It was great. It was good stuff.
I mean, I do like that a team is promoting their guy and throwing something out there, so that's kind of cool.
This year where there isn't really a standout, you know, maybe.
Well, according to the Westgate, there is.
There's a standout.
There's a standout.
I was going to say Ryan Suter, Victor Hedman, or a dark horse in Charlie McAvoy.
Well, Doughty is 9-2. That standout, according to the Westgate, is Victor Hedman at 4-9. Much better odds than Nathan MacKinnon. Right along there also, P.K. Subban, 13-2. Klingberg of the Stars, 9-1. And then we have John Carlson of the Capitals, 10-1 in there as well. All right, real quick, too, how about the Vezina? Who's going to win the goaltender?
Pekka-Rinne.
Pekka-Rinne. Interesting because Vasilevskiy was all but given it. Then he kind of fell off a little bit.
He's tired.
He has dropped to 9-4. Pekka-Rinne now 4-9, the same odds as Hedman.
Where's Connor Hellebuck?
Hellebuck is 15-2. And by the way, if Hellebuck wins the game tonight for the Jets, he will be tie the record for the most wins ever in a regular season by an American-born goalie, tying Tom Barrasso.
No, it was Mike Richter. Mike Richter had 42.
No, Richter has 42. That's what he has now. Barrasso had 43, he will tie Barrasso for the most ever by U.S.-born goaltender.
You think they try to get Hellebuck the record?
I think they might.
Yeah.
And then they might regret it if he's too tired in the playoffs.
Oh, he'll be fine.
But I think he'll be fine too. But you can check out those stats and everything. But very cool. Could have some more teams clinching tonight. For Ryan the Hockey Guy Wallace, for Chris Chapman, thanks for those great stories. Remember, join us tonight at Parkway Tavern on Mark Street in Henderson for the Golden Knights and the Vancouver Canucks. Coming up next, T.C. Martin with the T.C. Martin Show. The doctor is on the way. We'll talk to you tonight, 6:30 pregame, Fox Sports Radio, your home for Golden Knights hockey.